This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the 15th of March, a Saturday morning time once again to talk cars. More than that, maybe the problems you're having with your car, your truck, your van. You need to bring it in for service, you say, but you kind of want to know what may be ailing before you walk through that door or drive through that gate and talk to that service writer or shop. Why don't you give Nick Stoffel a call or a text at our usual number, 651-461-9226. Time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you, and how's the family?
Things are good, you know. Like I said to you off air, I'm actually in Tampa at the moment, shuffling kids around. Brought one kid down here Thursday night, and I head back with the other kid tomorrow because they have school on Monday. So, you know, if it's not hockey, it's their spring break. So, here we go.
You're trying to balance everything. Yeah, you're doing a lot of juggling. Well, thanks for helping our listeners out as usual on these Saturday mornings. I was looking at some text that already came in, but I want to alert our listeners, if you have any problems with your vehicle and you want to get an answer, why don't you, as I said, call Nick or send Nick a text, because sooner rather than later, Nick takes a leave about 7:45 this morning. So our time goes by so quickly as we make way for Ted Farrow from Haskell's, his wine chat at 7:45. So hearing from you earlier rather than later is the word of the day here on our Saturday morning. 651-461-9226. This came in earlier this morning. I guess it's timely listening to that forecast. When is it time to remove the snow tires? I think maybe you better hold off. What do you think, Nick?
You know, it's funny. We always get those questions in March, and you know, and then in the fall, usually it's, you know, November. And really, it kind of comes down to the temperature. You know, and we're getting there. I would say I would probably wait another week or two, but usually by the end of March, the asphalt's warmed up enough where if we do get some snow, it doesn't really stick much. You might have a day of inconvenience, but as long as the ambient temperature is not up into the 70s and higher, the asphalt's cool enough where it's not really wearing those tires down. It's not so much the snow. Or even the air temp, you have one warm day or something. It's just really when the ground thaws out. And, like, you know, in the summer months, you know, the asphalt can be up over 100 degrees. Well, that's really hard on that compound, causing them to wear a little bit faster. So I like to say the end of March, very beginning of April if necessary. Then back, you know, you get into November in the fall.
I noticed, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like with the calls and text messages we get over the last, oh, I don't know, 3 years or so, there seems to me a bigger interest in snow tires around here. Have you seen that, or is it just my imagination?
No, I think as cars have changed, you know, one of the main reasons why people end up with them is obviously for better traction. And what happens is that in a lot of the newer vehicles, we have like a larger wheel. The aesthetics, having a larger wheel and the thinner tire, is more appealing. But there's trade-offs there. And that, one of those trade-offs is having good traction in the winter months. So oftentimes people end up with a winter set of snow and wheels that's a little different dimensions to allow for better traction and, you know, handling, obviously, in those winter months. But keep in mind, if you're considering that, you really should get a tire and wheel combo. Tires are not really designed to be mounted and dismounted multiple times, and as they age, they're likely to tear, which costs more money on replacement. So if you have the place to store a summer set in the winter and a winter set in the summer, and you know they do work better, but it can be a bit costly. Like I said, you have to store them somewhere, so keep that in mind before you...
That was going to be my next comment or question about storage. That is a big issue, unless, like you said, you have some room. But, yeah, you don't want to keep mounting and unmounting those tires off your everyday wheels, your everyday rims. All right, here's our number again, 651-461-9226. Here's another question we get quite often around here. How do you clean your headlights?
Well, if you're, you know, obviously just run it through the washer, do it. But if we're referring to a situation where there's some oxidation on that lens, I know there's a lot of products, and we get this question from time to time, and you're more than welcome to buy one of those products as seen on TV. But I would be very careful. I will tell you that putting a chemical on that might cause more damage. So what we do is we have a product at the shop, which it consists of essentially sanding that oxidation down a really fine grit. It's a very long process. It takes probably 45 minutes or better per headlight assembly, so it's not something you can do wipe on, wipe off. And you have to be careful not to kind of sand too deep or too far. And then after that, you need to polish them to get them cleared back up. So it is very time-consuming. You know, obviously, we have the tools and equipment to manage that, make it a more quickly process and a better, cleaner process. But if you have the time and the means, it's a good weekend project for someone.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that or could be that involved. I was looking at a video this past week, in fact, about somebody. Of course, everybody has remedies for cleaning things. And this person was using, I'm not sure what compound, it might have been baking soda and a sliced lemon to rub. Some people like cleaning cast iron pans, frying pans with a potato and some salt. Well, that's a whole other story. I tell you what, before we break, let's grab another text. I don't want to run out of time. Denny and Nick, is there a way to align the rear wheels? I'm having a vibration issue.
Well, usually an alignment issue is going to cause a vehicle to drift or pull one way or another, abnormal tire wear. A vibration is telling me something's out of balance. Is it possible that it's a wheel, an axle, a drive shaft? Anything rotating can create a vibration, keep in mind. So I would think if you're having a vibration, get the vehicle and have somebody look at it. If they notice something's worn, like a bushing's worn, allowing for movement, which can give you kind of that vibration feeling, obviously once you replace that bushing or that component, you might need to align it to make sure everything's straight again so we don't affect tire wear.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. Again, if you have any kind of a car care question, if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite shop, your favorite dealer or shop, yeah, call Nick or text Nick before we run out of time. If whatever question you may have, he'll give you a little free analysis over the radio. 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday morning. Temperature will be dropping throughout the day today. A little after 4 or so. It's probably going to be hitting around 32. A windy day today. We're going to see a balance of rain and snow mixed. You stay tuned to CCO. Right now, 47 degrees from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. In fact, we'd love to hear from you right now at 651-461-9226. You don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead. If you drive a vehicle and you're having problems, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. And Nick, for those that want to reach out and get some help from Lloyd's Automotive, I know I'm going to be seeing you guys this coming week. How do we find you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you ever have a question, don't hesitate to call. We can always try to get you prepared before you take it in for, you know, a repair or maintenance, what you have. But you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And then once we get through this little weather, if you're out on Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. And finally, do check out our website, which is LloydsAutomotive.net.
Yes, indeed. And we will get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 or so this morning. So, again, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. Here is, oh, boy, they're coming in a little fast. Would it be possible, Texter wants to know, for someone to over-torque a battery terminal? They had their battery replaced yesterday, and the battery terminal was corroded to the battery post. But that can happen, can it not?
You know, that will happen, and if anything, maybe it was a poor connection allowing for that gassing to happen, that corrosion to be created and kind of collect on the terminal. So when you do replace a battery, you need to make sure you very thoroughly clean those terminal ends on the cables, and then if you're just, you know, reinstalling the battery, make sure the battery going in has a clean terminal also. And make sure if it's a top post, it's fully seated, and then when you tighten that locking key there, or locking bolt there, make sure it's snug and tight and there's no movement or no available vibration that might cause that the cable to come loose or come off and cause more issues. So make sure it's clean and make sure it is tight.
So looking at this next text and wondering how a technician may start this detective work. Texter says this: after starting my Kia, driving a short distance, shutting it off, it won't then always immediately restart. Power's there. Battery's good. Of course, you've heard this. It does never happen in the shop. Takes me several shifts from park to neutral to park to neutral. Almost always starts. Could it be a neutral switch? What would your first move there be in the shop?
Well, they kind of gave us a clue there. They talked about going from, you know, back into park into neutral and kind of exercising that switch. So most often when you try to think, like, what could the possible problem be, every time I do this particular thing, it works. Well, that's the first place you're going to start. So, you know, we're going to want to try to check that connection, check continuity, see if there's any kind of, like we talked about, corrosion or poor contact or something with that switch. You know, the difficult thing, though, is if it doesn't happen for us while we're there, it's always a little bit of a chance recommending that. Now, obviously, if that switch is starting to fail and we're to fail, you could get stuck. So, you know, your trick of moving that switch around may or may not always work. So I would say, you know, share that piece of the information, get it back into the shop, have them, you know, do some visual inspections, try to see if they can, you know, duplicate that problem. But ultimately, you might have to kind of gamble a bit and replace that. You know, the alternative is just wait until it completely fails, but then you might be looking at a tow and an inconvenience. So, you know, depending on the cost, you might have to weigh your options.
Who's just joining us, Nick Stoffel, as usual, answering any kind of a car care question you may have this morning. I was thinking about that particular question. And one we've had over the years, and maybe it still occurs, is we've had questions about unable to get their shift out of park. I mean, like it's stuck. They can't do anything. They can't start the car. They can't move the shift lever. Is that still happening? And what does happen there? And how do you correct it?
Well, the vehicles have different safety systems built into them, obviously. And one of them is that they don't want you to be able to start the vehicle if it's not in park or neutral. Because what we don't want to have happen is to have it be in a forward or reverse gear, have you try to start the vehicle and have it lurch and run into something or someone. So by design, they're not going to start if they're not in park. So a lot of times if there's a failure in that system, you know, there is a release or a secondary bypass. Obviously, look in the owner's manual. You can, you know, try to find it if necessary. Obviously, when a car doesn't start and we often still have to push it into the shop, we'll do that. We'll get into neutral by overriding that system so we can push the vehicle inside to try to figure out why it's not starting. So it's not something you want to do if you don't have the experience. But there is, like I said, once again, look in the owner's manual. And if your vehicle is equipped with an override, it'll explain that to you there.
Here's another one we get from once in a while here on the show, and I bet you do too. Are those reusable filters, the ones you can wash, worth the extra money? We get this pretty often.
We do, and I think if you're the type of person, like we've said in the past, that's going to maintain clean oil and follow those procedures, I think there's no problem with it. But unfortunately, most often we see those products that's been in the vehicle for too long, and they become quite dirty, and if anything, they're, you know, work in reverse. They're restricting more airflow than allowing. So it's kind of a preference thing. I think it's a fine product, but like once again, you'll need to be on top of it, following that cleaning procedure on a pretty regular basis.
Something I wanted to ask you about aftermarket parts versus original equipment, especially in regards to filters. Is it a good idea, or is it necessarily a better move to use Let's just talk about various filters, engine air filter, cabin filter, oil filter. That's original equipment, or you know, do the aftermarket ones, are they pretty good?
You know, I would say, yes, they are pretty good. You know, depending on the part and the component, we're talking about maintenance item and filters. You know, the car makers are manufacturers of vehicles. They don't make parts. They assemble vehicles. So oftentimes when you remove that filter, you'll see a stamping on, a number on, and a name on it, which oftentimes is available in the aftermarket at a better value, better price. And we spend a lot of time doing that ourselves, trying to give people the best value for their money. And we'll learn and find that a certain manufacturer might be making all of these air filters for many different manufacturers, and we'll often sell those products under the other guy's box, which is less money, even though it's the same part. So it's a little tricky. You have to be careful. But a lot of the maintenance items, we do find ways to get the same exact quality part and component at a better price.
And I know we always like to remind folks to read the manual, the owner's manual, as far as maintenance schedule. How often, as I was talking to somebody the other day about engine air filters, and I didn't look in my manual, but how often should an engine air filter be? That's not something like a cabin filter, right? You can go pretty quite a few miles, right?
Yeah, it depends on where you live and how you drive. You know, if you're going down a dirt road on a regular basis, that filter is going to get dirty quicker. If you're on the highway and open road, it's probably going to last a little bit longer. What I would say, and we do this as part of our regular service schedule when we service vehicles, we'll, on the accessible air filters, we're going to visually inspect that to see what kind of debris and what kind of condition it is. Obviously, many of our customers are regular customers, but we can also see a timeline on how regular they're replacing them. So, you know, it might be every year, it might be every 18 months, it might be a couple of years, depends on, like I said, driving cycle, driving habits. And you know, but I would say every year or two, you're likely to have that air filter replaced.
You know, Nick, here we are in the middle of March, and usually at this time, maybe it's the same now, I haven't heard complaints, but what about potholes? Have you seen or heard people bringing in their vehicles because of pothole damage? I have not heard or read anything about it.
Well, I think this is the time of the year that they really develop. You know, you get some moisture, that freeze-thaw cycle. When it thaws, you know, the ice and snow become water. They get into the cracks in the road, freezes overnight. That water then becomes ice, and that's where we create those cracks in the pavement and potholes. So this is that kind of that time of the year when that stuff starts to develop. I do feel like, you know, a lot of the city maintenance, road maintenance outfits have done a pretty good job the last couple of years of trying to get on top of that as soon as they can, you know, because, you know, once you get those potholes developed and you get a couple of those ones that, you know, from time to time that you hear that they're legendary, that they swallow up a car. So I feel like they've done a better job getting after it, right, you know, as we get into that season to refill them and get them flat on the road again.
I think you're right. Good job. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a bit of a break, have a look at that forecast, the ever-changing weather forecast. But just a reminder to our listeners, Nick will be with us for about another 12, 15 minutes or so. And that's it, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you right now. 651, you can call it in or you can text it in, either one. 651-461-9226. Weather straight ahead here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Big St. Patrick's Day celebration in St. Paul. Are they going to be going down Grand Avenue, or folks will? Or what's the story as far as you know, Nick?
You know, I believe the parade is still downtown. I honestly don't know. I haven't attended that festivities. You know, I think that might be a little bit of a younger man's game, but I kind of steer clear from large crowds and places where I'm going to get stuck. So I won't be there, but I know that a lot of people will, and I think it's a great thing for the community and for the businesses that get to thrive. Be careful. Be smart. Uber. Do not,
yes.
If you indulge, do not drive. It's so simple, and Uber so inexpensive. Please just be smart with your decisions.
That's such a great comment. Glad you made that. Yeah, it's too bad the weather's not going to be complimentary to the celebration today. All right. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number for any car care question you may have. 651-461-9226. The texter says this. Let me kind of thin it down here. I was told I might need repair on my CV joints. What are they and what do they do? Good question.
That is a good question. So a CV joint is part of the drive axle. Obviously, most vehicles are front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive on the road these days. And in order to allow it to be front-wheel drive and allow for the front wheels to steer, obviously go to left or the right, we need to have some flexibility there. And that's where that CV joint comes into play. So we have a drive axle that's connected to the transmission, and then a CV joint at the transmission and another joint at the wheel. So that allows for the transmission to drive those wheels down the road, but also because of the flexibility of those joints, allows us to steer and have the suspension travel. What will happen, however, is with time, age, you know, stuff in the road, winter, summer cycles, that rubber boot will tear. When that happens, as that axle's spinning down the road, it's going to lose the grease. And that becomes an unfortunate situation because it'll cause wear and tear. Damaging that axle, create a clicking. Sometimes they can actually break, which is an extreme situation, but it does happen. Usually we have to replace that axle as a whole. People do talk about rebooting them, which you can do, but my fear there is it's, you know, my opinion, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a dirty wound. You need to get that cleaned out. In order to get it cleaned, I think it's more cost-effective just to replace the axle.
Here's something that's kind of related that came in via text. How do I know if I have a bad wheel bearing? Didn't they used to pack those years ago?
If you go far enough back, yes, you should take them apart, repack them, you know, new grease, new seals, reinstall, and get to kind of properly torque them. Well, most vehicles, or actually all vehicles on the road, I can probably say, is it's an assembly that's enclosed and permanently sealed, but they do have wear and tear. You mentioned potholes. You know, that type of jarring motion can damage those ball bearings, which can cause that wheel bearing to fail or become loose or worn. The telltale sign or the first warning for somebody driving the vehicle, it's a humming noise. They'll say, I notice a humming noise when I'm driving my vehicle, but as I go down the road and I kind of go to the left or the right as the road curves, the noise changes. It goes away. There's a look going one direction, and it's louder going the other direction. You also might notice that as you increase speed, that frequency increases with it because the wheel is spinning faster. So if you're noticing that noise, especially after this, you know, when the roads get a little bit rough here in the next month or so, when you're in for service, mention that. Make sure they take it for a test drive. See if they notice anything. Obviously, they can visually inspect it when it's on the hoist and let you know what they're finding.
All right, we have time for a couple more, I do believe. Rear camera on, it doesn't say what kind of vehicle it is, but it seems to be intermittent. It doesn't work all the time. Is it repairable, and how do you fix something like that?
You know, from my experience, most of those cameras are just kind of an all-inclusive or inclusive one-part component. You know, if the camera's gone bad, there is the potential for some wiring, but that's pretty rare because that stuff's routed usually through the body of the vehicle where it's kind of protected from any of the debris or any of the salt. So if it's an intermittent issue, obviously you'd like to get it in, have someone try to look at it, confirm it's the camera itself, not the monitor, the screen inside the vehicle. But most often I think we replace those cameras.
Looking at somebody wants to save some money here as far as wiper blades are concerned. I was told that you can see if I can get to the meat here. You can clean these by hand and make them last longer. I suppose that can be true, but wiper blades do wear out too.
Yeah, they're rubber, and the oxidation from the sun off the windshield, the salt from the roads will kind of cause those wipers to tear or to get cleaned poorly. And it's one of those things that you just don't notice it because it's so gradual, and then one day they're just bad. It is funny because we will look at them, and you'll make a recommendation to somebody about the wiper blades, and they'll be like, oh, I think they're fine. And, you know, I've joked about this in the past. I always say, well, I'll give you the passenger side one for free. And then they notice the difference. And then, well, I got to charge you double for the driver's side one to make it right. But, no, in all honesty, it's one of those things that, you know, when you spray, the way they're supposed to work is they should, you know, come across once or twice and it should be clear. They shouldn't have to keep working to try to clear that windshield because, you know, it's, you know, you get a dark day, you get some snow or some rain. The last thing you need to do is have that smearing across the windshield where you can't have a clear view. So, and they're not horribly expensive. You know, they've got a lot better. They last a lot longer. So if you're not sure about them, have them looked at. And I think you'll find a fresh set of wiper blades will make your driving experience a lot better.
Yeah, really, really makes a difference. Let's grab one more here, I think, before we let you go. I'm hearing more and more about nitrogen in tires. What's your opinion of that, and why nitrogen?
Well, it's already in the air for the most part. What they're talking about is that there's compressors out there that separate the oxygen from the nitrogen. With its strictly nitrogen in the tire, it keeps the pressure more consistent. Now, it's not going to keep it from leaking, but you're not going to have that pressure change that you do with the oxygen, because as the oxygen heats up, the molecules move a little bit faster, increases the tire pressure 1 or 2 or 3 psi. It's not significant, but with the nitrogen, the thought is that the pressures are more consistent. I feel like that was a real big push a few years back. Those compressors are expensive. We don't have one. We don't get into that. I think there's a lot of places that do. And then of course, once you have a low tire, now you need to get it refilled, and then all of a sudden you're contaminating that because now you put regular compressed air in there. So it's not a bad idea. It does work, but I'm not sure it's worth the trade-off. And if you have your vehicle maintained on a regular basis, which we all should, check your tire pressures anyway. So there's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Nick. I know I'll see you this coming week, but for folks that maybe need some help from Lloyd's, again, how do we give us details on how we find Lloyd's Automotive?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call. As always, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And then once we get to this little bit of weather system here, if you're on Grand Avenue at 982 Grand, stop and say hi. And as you know, I'm going to say, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick, have a safe trip back. We'll see you this week at Lloyd's, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.